It is so good to be here this morning. May hear a few claps of thunder during the lesson. I understand there may be some storms heading this way. Not too serious that I'm aware of, but anyway, it's a beautiful day nonetheless. Opportunity to come together, to worship God, to study His Word. And according to some fella, we weren't supposed to be here this morning. I guess he must have missed it. Anyway, all the prognosticators of time past have been wrong. He's just added to the list now. So anyone in the future who wants to come along and say that the world is going to end at a certain time, that fellow was so arrogant, he even set a time for it. Well, what does the Bible say about testing prophets? I wonder how many people are still following that fellow this morning. Probably, well, I'll put it this way, there are too many still, I'm sure. He's still got his followers. But anyway, I tell you what, this morning we're going to be continuing a study on the subject of grace. Last Sunday morning we had a sermon entitled Living by Grace. Our study this morning is going to be based in the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you will, take your New Testament and turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The word grace, boiling it down, simply means that which is unmerited. Unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor that He has extended toward us, granting opportunity to be saved, the forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with Him, heaven when this life is over. God has graciously extended His offer of salvation to us. That gift is unmerited. We cannot earn it. There's no way. Romans 4, verse 4, and Romans 6, 4:16, Romans 11 and verse 6, many other passages where grace and works are contrasted. The contrast is between that which is the unmerited favor of God contrasted with merit, debt. No one can stand before God and say, God, You owe me grace. Because of God's great love, He has extended His wonderful plan of salvation to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. He gave His Son for us. Now, will we receive that great gift? In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12 that we studied last week, as we looked at that whole chapter, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, but we must receive it by submitting to the will of Jesus Christ. Have we done that? Will we be willing to do that? Now, the subject of grace is very misunderstood in the religious world today. We need to examine everything that the Scripture has to say about it. And I want us to understand that when we do what God tells us to do, when we become the person that God commands us to become, that we do not violate, we do not transgress, we do not frustrate the grace of God. We're simply, by His grace, becoming who He expects us, desires for us, wants us to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul, writing to the young evangelist Timothy, says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the cross. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of the sort who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is past already. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's a long reading, an entire chapter, but I want to point out that when we talk about grace, what people like to do is they pick that word out and they isolate it from its context and they then define it according to their theological position. In the context, the Apostle Paul instructs Timothy to what? First of all, stand strong. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And then he tells him how to do it. Everything in this chapter is in harmony and is joined with this concept of being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We are to be strong in grace as well. We stand in grace by faith. If you look back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 5, where Paul there says, When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And so here you have Timothy, a young man of faith. And Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, we have access to God's grace by faith. And we stand in that grace by faith. The grace in which you stand. 1 Corinthians 1:24 presents the same concept. And so when we stand by grace, we must do that by faith. What if our faith gets weak? What if we cease to believe in the Lord? By faith, we stand by grace. And this standing in the true grace of God is conditional. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter is closing out this book. And you go down to just look at verse 12. By Silvanus and our faithful brother, as I considered him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. What is the true grace of God? Go back up to verse 6. It says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And then you go back, and remember at the end of this epistle, Peter says, said, this is the true grace of God. You go back and you look at the entire epistle. Certainly what God has provided, that is the salvation that comes from the blood of Christ, verse 2 of chapter 1, having been being begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, verse 3, and heaven, which is verse 4, which is reserved for us. Here he's talking about things that God has done for us that we cannot do for ourselves. These things are offered by His grace that we cannot accomplish on our own. But you go on through this text, look at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the resurrection of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy. Grace has requirements. It's conditional. Acts 13 and verse 43, as the Apostle Paul was in Antioch, Pisidia, he is now preaching the gospel in the synagogues each Sabbath day to these Jews, and many of the Jews and some of the Gentiles believed, and they followed him. And he told them to stay strong, to stand, to continue in the grace of the Lord Jesus. And Galatians 5 and verse 4, what does that passage say? Galatians 5 and verse 4, Paul in the context is dealing with the problem of circumcision and Judaizing teachers in Galatia, throughout the churches of Galatia. He tells them that those who are circumcised, those who are trying to bind the law and follow the law in order to be saved, he says, you have fallen from grace. Grace can be walked away from. We can cease to stand strong in the grace of God. When we turn away from the Lord, when we become unholy, impure, when we do that which is unlawful in the Lord's sight, we are also told that we must grow in the grace of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. And chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. We are to give all diligence to add things to our faith that make us into the person that God wants us to be. And if we do the things that are talked about, we will never fall, he says. And in chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, Peter is speaking of the words of the Apostle Paul, how some of those things are hard to be understood. And then he says to them, he says, which we read earlier, these things you know beforehand. Okay, we need to understand the things of the Lord, what He's revealed for us. And we are to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we strong in the grace of God? Paul also mentions that this grace is in Christ Jesus. It is in a relationship. It's in a location, a sphere. It's in Christ. And only in Christ. One cannot be strong in the grace of Christ and be out side of Christ. Romans 8 verses 1 and 2. Romans 8 verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. When I follow the law of the Spirit that is in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation there. As long as I do not walk according to the flesh, if I walk according to the Spirit, there is no condemnation. What if I turn away from the law of the Spirit and start walking according to the law of the flesh? What if I turn away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and start doing my own thing? Am I still walking in the grace of Christ? Am I still in a relationship with Christ? One cannot be strong in grace and not be in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We are new creatures, a new creation in Christ. You cannot have the spiritual blessings that God provides us by His grace outside of Christ. For Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul makes a list of the blessings, or gives us some of the blessings that are in Christ. He talks about all spiritual blessings in verse 3, and then those who are chosen by God, the child of God, except those that are accepted by God, those that are redeemed by the blood of Christ, those who have been forgiven of their sins, and they have this heavenly hope and heavenly inheritance. But all those outside of Christ have none of these things. No hope without God in the world. In fact, chapter 2 makes that point. Are we in Christ? That's what Paul, that's how he begins this section of the text in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You must remain in fellowship with Christ. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. There John says that there is no darkness in God. Walk in the light as He is in the light. He goes on. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And if we have fellowship, if we do, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We must walk in the light. And then we have fellowship with one another, and we have fellowship, most importantly, with the Lord. But how do we get into Christ? In Romans 6 and verses 3 through 6, Paul there says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him in baptism, through baptism, into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." So those who have been baptized into Christ were to live for Christ, live a holy life. How did they get into Christ? They were baptized into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. May I submit to you, friend, if you have not been baptized into Christ, you have not been baptized into His death. You are not in Christ unless you have been baptized into Christ. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, "You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." If you're here this morning and you have never been baptized into Christ, you are not a child of God by faith. You have not put on Christ. You're outside of Christ. You're outside of the grace of God or His unmerited gift of salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Timothy was in Christ, as most that are here this morning. You've been baptized into Christ. So the exhortation to you then is, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that grace. Let's look at some things in this text that he mentions briefly. Beginning in verse 2, he goes on and he says this, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Okay, if you're going to be strong in the grace of Christ, you must be sharing that grace with others. You be strong. You share your faith with others that they may come to the same understanding of the grace of God, the unmerited favor of salvation that He has extended. Now, you look in the broader context, you look into chapter 1 and verse 13. Chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Okay, and you share these things that you've heard from me with others. So what is he to share? The pattern of sound words which he had heard from Paul. He's to share that with others. In chapter 3, in verse 10, he says this, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch." Okay, not only had he followed in the sense that he recognize Paul suffered through those things, he also suffered them as well. And he suffered for what? For the things that the Apostle Paul had accomplished. And he taught others that same thing. In verse 14 he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." We're talking in Bible class this morning. Who wrote the Ten Commandments? Well, Moses was involved, no doubt about that, but God was also involved, and we could rightly say that God wrote them. We can also say this, that God wrote the entire Bible. We can say that. God wrote it. It's from Him. Timothy was to do the things which he had learned, follow those things, teach those things, knowing from where they came. They didn't come just from Paul. What does Paul say about that in Galatians chapter 1? "I'm not here to please men. What I have preached to you, I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ." That is what we too must follow today. That is what we must teach others. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the brethren there, they were scattered abroad because of their persecution, being persecuted because of their faith in Christ. They were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the Word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, we see these brethren in Thessalonica standing strong in the grace of God, and that they too spread the gospel. Spread it to the point where the apostles didn't even have to go into that region because the region had been saturated, if you will, with the gospel because of the brethren, the church in Thessalonica. And something else that Paul tells Timothy to do. He says that you are to endure hardship as a good soldier. Now, many folks, many preachers today, in their concept of grace, be strong in the grace of God, they disassociate any kind of works or activities. You can't do those things and still be in the grace of God. Paul tells Timothy here to endure hardship as a good soldier. You know, being a soldier is not easy. Being in the military is hard. They work you hard. But not only training camp, boot camp, do they work you hard, they continue to work you hard. Things aren't easy for a soldier, especially when you are sent off to war. And you find yourself in foxholes with bullets flying around your head. Things aren't easy in those situations. But friend, you know what? Being a Christian, we are soldiers. We are to be soldiers in battle. And there will be enemies that we face. We must train, we must go through the training process, we must grow, and we must face enemies as good soldiers in Christ. This analogy is used over and over in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, Timothy there is told to wage a good warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, our weapons are not carnal, our weapons are spiritual. We're to use those weapons. We are to be active in battle. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, the analogy of a soldier there. You put on the whole armor of God. He is the one who equips us. Now, let me suggest this to you. When you go to Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, where the things of protection that God provides for us are enumerated, when we put those things on, we are capable. We are able to stand strong in the grace of God. And the only way that we can stand strong in the grace of God is to put those things on. We must have our waist girded with truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must have the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we must take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We must use those things. We are in battle. We too must endure hardship as a good soldier, standing in the grace of God. We must compete according to the rules. Look at verse 5 again. "And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." So many today, their concept of grace is you don't have to follow the rules. You don't have to follow the rules. Too many are teaching that concept. Paul said to Timothy to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And just like somebody who's running a race, who's competing in athletics, you have to walk, you have to fight, you have to run, you have to play according to the rules. There are rules. And that does not frustrate the grace of God. In fact, you cannot be strong in the grace of God. You cannot live in the grace of God if you do not follow the Lord's rules. We must have authority for everything we do. Colossians 3, verse 17. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, look at verses 7 and 8. Paul looks at himself and he says, I have fought the good fight. There's the idea of warfare. I have finished the race. Did he compete according to the rules? And I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give me. And not to me only, but also to those who love his appearing. Those who also fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Compete according to the rules. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, turn there with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. This is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. After he is dealing with all these problems in Corinth, and especially the eating of meats and brethren judging one another and brethren putting stumbling blocks in front of another, he says in verse 24, do you not know that those who run in the race run all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain. Now, friend, let me ask you this, okay? You're running in such a way that you may obtain the prize of heaven. All right? If you run in such a way that you obtain that prize, have you earned it when you get it? Do you frustrate the grace of God by running like He commands you to run and following the rules? Run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. There is something we must do about this. And He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. You are able to control yourself. Now they do it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul himself could be disqualified. He could be kicked out of the race and not get the prize. Paul had to run so that he could obtain. And he tells Timothy that the only way to do that is to run according to the rules. Follow the authority. Submit to the authority of Christ. And then he says in verses 6 through 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Now, many have interpreted this to deal with Timothy being rewarded financially for his work. And 1 Corinthians deals with that, and we'll be studying that in our sermon next week, next Sunday evening, Lord willing. But that's not the main point that Paul is making here. In fact, Albert Barnes had a real good comment about this. The way that the sentence is structured and everything, where he says the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops, the idea is actually that in order to partake of the crops, you must first work hard. That's the idea. You are not going to partake of the crops if you don't work hard. You have to get out in the field. You have to plant the seed. You have to keep the weeds out. You have to work. And if you do all of those things first, then you will reap the reward. Very similar to what passages such as Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, those who continue in good doing will receive eternal life. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary in well doing or doing good, that you may receive the reward. That's the idea that he's getting across to Timothy in this context. If you're going to partake of the fruits or the benefits of living for Christ, you have to work hard like that farmer. And he endures all kinds of things. Sonny mentioned in his prayer about the farmers in East Arkansas. Jackie Prince is one of them. Saw him. He was on channel, was it four? Wasn't it channel four? They interviewed Jackie Prince over at Bisco. Good friend of mine. A lot of damage. No telling how many acres of crops have been destroyed and lost, and these people are hurting. Some of them are our brethren. But you know what? Jackie has worked hard. Many people who are farming, they have to work hard if they're going to receive the crop. Same thing with us. Now think about this again. We must endure hardship as a good soldier. We must compete according to the rules. And we must work hard like that farmer if we are going to stand strong in the grace of Christ. That is in Christ. We must work hard. Now some more things quickly. Look at verse 15, where Paul there says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Timothy was told in chapter 4 of this same epistle, that should be 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what he tells Timothy in beginning in verse 12. He says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the brethren in word and conduct and love, in spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and them that hear you." You preach the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. You preach the word, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to handle it correctly. We need to grow and mature and to study it that we may become who we ought to be. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. What about those who did not study and prepare themselves? They did not give all diligence to show themselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. They didn't spend time studying the word of God enough to know it, that they may teach others. They could not do that because they themselves were immature. They needed milk. They could not handle strong meat. We need to be people who are of the book. We need to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God. A worker, we are like that farmer working. A worker that does not need to be ashamed, but handling aright, or rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in verses 14 and verses 16 through 18, and again in verses 23 through 26 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he emphasizes the point, the need for Timothy, first of all, to resist error. Don't get caught up in all the wrangling and the quarreling and all of that. He says there are some things that you just flat out need to avoid. Look at verse 14, where he says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." We can get caught up in arguing, not discuss. It's moved from the point of discussing people who have different opinions. It's moved from the realm of honorable debate here into discussing and arguing over things that are of no profit. I was watching a video clip the other day. I've seen it before, about this gospel preacher out on the East Coast, had a television program, and this fellow calls him up. Okay. This preacher is going through Acts chapter 2, and he's looking at verse 38. And this Baptist calls him up, and he says, he's wanting to correct this gospel preacher on the word "for" there, which has come from the Greek term "ice." And he's wanting to talk to him about that word. It's good and it's right, and it should have been talked about. That word should have been explained. But for the next 20 minutes, that gospel preacher wrangled, argued over what the fellow's name that was calling was. And if he wasn't going to give him his name, he's not going to talk to him about it. And then he argued about whether he's a Greek scholar or not. And they argued for 20 minutes without ever discussing what the word meant. That made me a little upset. And that was posted on Facebook this past week again. And somebody wrote on there, and this fellow isn't not a member of the church that posted, said, "This guy is a jerk." Now, he may be a gospel preacher, but I'm sorry, I have to agree, he acted like that. And we don't do the cause of Christ any favors when we get into quarreling and arguing over things like that. Let's talk about the Scriptures. Define the term. Talk about the words of Scripture and not talk about all this other stuff and distract from the message of God. We need to resist error. We need to correct error in humility. Look a little further down here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look down to what he says in verses 16 through 18. He says, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their measure will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. And they have strayed concerning the truth." Okay, so Paul is warning Timothy about these fellows who are saying the resurrection is past. We've got some brethren who are teaching that. It's called the AD 70 doctrine. They're teaching that the resurrection is already past. We had a fellow here saying that the world was going to end yesterday. We know how wrong he was about that. We need to preach the truth, knowing that the Word of God is the only solid foundation that we have to stand upon. And then you get down to verse 24, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition." We must correct. What does he say in 2 Timothy chapter 4? In verses 2 through 5, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." We're told in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4 how the apostle Paul approached Peter. He withstood him to the face. He withstood him before all that he may be blamed. And you look on down into Jude chapter 1 in your scripture, Jude, the book of Jude, in verses 3 and 4, "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints," because there are fellows out there who turn the grace of God into lewdness. We also are told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 that we are to depart from iniquity. Look at what it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Lord knows those who are His because He knows those who are not living according to His Son's teaching. The Lord knows those who are His because they are doing what the Son, Jesus Christ, commands them to do. The Lord knows, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That is lawlessness. The only way, friend, that you can be strong in the grace of Christ is to keep the law of Christ. That's the only way. Because if you are not keeping the law of Christ, you are what? Practicing iniquity, lawlessness. Instead of being lawless, we are to be lawkeepers, the lawkeepers following Christ's teaching. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. People want to say, "Well, you're just legalistic." Well, I'd rather be a legalist than an illegalist. That's for sure. I want to do what Christ tells me to do. How about you? I want to follow His will. And the only way that I can stand in the grace of Christ is to follow His will. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14. And we are not to continue in sin so that grace may abound, but rather we're to be servants of righteousness, slaves to righteousness, obeying from the heart the form of doctrine delivered to us. We must follow the truth. And again, Paul had emphasized that to Timothy over and over again. And flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. Look again in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So, okay, depart from lawlessness, flee youthful lust. In between those passages there, verses 19 and 22, he talks about in the great house there are two different kinds of vessels. Not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. You cannot be a useful vessel in the Lord's army unless you are purified, clean, after you have departed from iniquity. Flee youthful lust. Not just talking about sexual passions or things of that nature that is prominent among youth, but I think he's dealing with the idea of pride and arrogance here. And dealing with these false teachers, you be careful. Because one of the temptations of young men who come to a knowledge of the truth, one of the temptations of young men is to think they know more than they really do. And their zeal motivates them, pushes them beyond what they are capable or able at that particular time in their Christian walk, in their spiritual life. It pushes them beyond what they're really capable of doing. And they do things that are not wise. They do things that they should not. They're not prepared to do some of the things that they attempt to do. And that's all promoted by pride, arrogance. And this is a temptation for the young. The zeal will motivate them, and can motivate them at least, to do those things that are not correct, not wise. Flee youthful lust. You listen to others. You be humble. You correct with humility. So, are you in Christ? You cannot stand in the grace of Christ. You cannot stand strong in the grace of Christ unless you are in Him. Have you by faith been baptized into Christ? In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit you have all been baptized into one body. That is the body of Christ, the church. When we are baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, those who are baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of their sins, the Lord, verse 47, added them to the church. We become members. We're a part of His body. Have you been baptized into Christ? You cannot stand strong in the grace of Christ unless you have been. But maybe you have been baptized into Christ. Are you standing strong in the grace of Christ as you should? In the unmerited favor of God that is in Christ Jesus? In our text, we've seen how we ought to be sharing the gospel, teaching faithful men that they may be able to teach others also, spreading the borders of the kingdom of Christ. Are we standing strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus? If we are not, are we enduring hardship as a good soldier? Are we fighting? Have we taken the armor of God, put it on, and used it for the Lord? I'll tell you, if you haven't, and if you're not standing strong in the grace of Christ. Are you competing according to the rules of Christ, of course? Are you following His authority, submitting to His authority? Friend, if you are not submitting to the authority of Christ, if you're not following the pattern that He's revealed to us in the New Testament, you cannot stand strong. You are not standing strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Are you working hard like that farmer, looking forward to the reward that is there? Are you working hard? If you're not, you're not standing strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Are you diligently seeking to be approved by God, rightly dividing the word of truth? If you're not giving all diligence to study, to seek out what the truth of Christ is, what the truth of God is, if you're not, how can you stand strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Are you trying and striving and seeking to demonstrate to yourself that you are approved by God? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, by the way. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Are you doing that? Resisting error and correcting error in humility. holding to the truth and resisting error. And finally, departing from lawlessness and fleeing youthful lust, or just fleeing lust. Some of us aren't that youthful anymore. But we still have the same problems. Are we resisting that which is sinful? Departing from lawlessness. The way you depart from lawlessness, my friend, is to submit to the law of Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not in Christ Jesus. Why not accept the grace of God that brings salvation to you by submitting to the gospel of Christ this morning? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him. And be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. But then, you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You stand strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And if we can help you in any way, if there's anything that you need that we can help you with, won't you come now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.